Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the Democratic and Republican conventions are coming up the next 2 weeks. I hear that Senator Clinton may release all her delegates to vote for Obama before that roll call vote actually takes place. So Patterson, as a superdelegate, could do whatever he wants. Some of the others who are committed delegates may not have that choice, or they may. And I think that's one of the little pieces of drama that will be unfolding in the coming days. As I mentioned, we'll be broadcasting live from both, starting with Denver next Monday, then Minneapolis, St. Paul the following Monday. We'll be talking to a lot of Democrats and Republicans as they try to define their parties and their presidential candidates in 2008. And in a way, the side-by-side comparisons began this weekend with Obama and McCain back-to-back with Pastor Rick Warren on national TV. Republican strategist and word maven Frank Luntz is with us right now. His book, Words That Work, It's Not What You Say, It's What People Hear, is just out in paperback with a new chapter about the presidential campaign. Luntz, by way of context, for those of you who don't know, is the man who framed wordings like energy exploration instead of drilling for oil, death tax instead of inheritance tax, and the author of a memo to the Bush White House about how to frame environmental issues, such as saying climate change instead of global warming. Hi, Frank. Welcome back to WNYC.
That certainly has, I'm sure, provoked at least 80% of your listening audience. You know, it's interesting. One of the reasons why I wanted to do the paperback is that Obama emerged as one of the best communicators of our time. I don't think there's been a better linguist since Bobby Kennedy. And what's amazing about Obama is that he knows how to capture emotion. He knows how to put together language that really goes for the heart, not just the head.
And I want to read your own words, a little bit of a quote from your book about Obama, where it seemed to me that you weren't just giving him credit for being a good wordsmith, but that he is authentic and tapping into something very real. Quote, Americans haven't seen anything like Obama since, well, never. Obama has given Americans hope again. This is a genuine political movement, a core belief shared across populations that these are special times and that an authentic voice has arisen that transcends traditional political orthodoxy. You wrote all those things.
Yes, and that's why, you know, it's interesting you introduced me as a Republican because people stopped doing that years ago. It may surprise you, and which should surprise a listener to hear a Republican saying that about Barack Obama. But when you take an independent view of his communication, you cannot help but be impressed. And that chapter that examines what Obama says and how he says it, I think it explains why someone with so little experience could still be the front runner in the presidential campaign.
But take me deeper into that, because you seem to give him credit for more than just being a good communicator, but that he's an authentic voice who speaks to a genuine political movement. When you talk about communication, you know, it has the ring of calculation, marketing. And I think you're giving him credit and analyzing the political move, the political moment in the country in a deeper way than that.
Well, I'm giving him credit for being able to win over the 20-something generation in a way that no politician, no spokesman has been able to do since really going back since Bobby Kennedy. And he's been able to do it in a way that unifies. Now, the challenge for Obama is that his words, his language, appeals so effectively for people under age 30, but it's leaving people over age 60 cold and distant. For Obama to win, he's going to have to bridge the generation gap.
How about McCain's language?
McCain's language, when I wrote this chapter, was much less effective because it was more political. And he lost a little bit of that luster from 2000. And yet, as we saw in the and listened to in the Rick Warren forum this weekend, John McCain has an internal passion. And when he talks about his past experiences, particularly, and I'm going to give you just one stat. Do you realize that John McCain spent more time defending America in a prisoner of war camp than Barack Obama has spent in the United States Senate? And McCain talked about that in a very passionate way that I know connected with viewers.
So I pulled some clips, my staff and I pulled some clips from this Rick Warren forum on Saturday night. I watched most of it when it was rebroadcast on CNN last night. And I actually thought the difference in language and presentation between the two of them was very striking. So I'm going to be curious to get your takes on these. One of the really interesting questions was when Rick Warren asked them if they thought evil was a real thing. And then if there is evil, what do you do? Do you confront it? Do you appease it? Do you ignore it? And I'm going to play a bit of each of their answers. This actually starts with the question by Rick Warren asking Obama about evil.
Okay, we've got one last time. I've got a bunch more, but let me just ask you one about evil. Does evil exist? And if it does, do we ignore it? Do we negotiate with it? Do we contain it? Do we defeat it?
Evil does exist. I mean, I think we see evil all the time. Mm-hmm. We see evil in Darfur. Mm-hmm. We see evil, sadly, on the streets of our cities. We see evil in parents who viciously abuse their children. And I think it has to be confronted. It has to be confronted squarely. And one of the things that I strongly believe is that we are not going to, as individuals, be able to erase evil from the world. That is God's task. But we can be soldiers in that process, and we can confront it when we see it. Now, the one thing that I think is very important is for us to have some humility in how we approach the issue of confronting evil, mm-hmm. because a lot of evil has been perpetrated based on the claim that we were trying to confront evil.
In the name of good.
In the name of good.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think one thing that's very important is having some humility in recognizing that just because we think our intentions are good doesn't always mean that we're going to be doing good.
All right. Now, Frank Luntz was making some comments to me about Obama's presentation right there as it was taking place. But for those of you who didn't hear this Rick Warren forum over the weekend, I want to go right on to the same question and the same answer from John McCain. Now, they say, and the Democrats are disputing this, but it was probably true that McCain was in a cone of silence, as Pastor Warren called it, and did not hear Obama's answer in his hour-long interview. Then McCain came on and was asked basically the same set of questions by Rick Warren. Personally, I thought it was generally very effective as a format, and that Warren did a very good job posing these questions in an issue-oriented non-confrontational way. And so to give you a chance to compare, we just heard Obama's answer to that question. Now Rick Warren again asking the question with McCain's answer.
Does evil exist? And if so, should we ignore it, negotiate with it, contain it, or defeat it?
Defeat it. A couple of points. One, if I'm president of the United States, my friends, if I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. I will do that, and I know how to do it. I will get that done. No one should be allowed to take thousands of innocent American lives. Of course, evil must be defeated. My friends, we are facing the transcendent challenge of the 21st century. Radical Islamic extremism. Not long ago in Baghdad, Al-Qaeda took two young women who were mentally disabled and put suicide vests on them, sent them into a marketplace, and by remote control detonated those suicide vests. If that isn't evil, you have to tell me what is. And we're going to defeat this evil.
All right, listeners, you can call up with your reactions to that and anything else you want to say or ask of Frank Luntz. We have our old call-in number back, maybe since you were last listening, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. call us up, give us your reactions to the Rick Warren Forum, to Warren, to the fact that they did this at all. I mean, I'm interested in the fact that Obama rejected doing this series of issue-specific town hall forums all around America with John McCain that he first said he was interested in, except for this one. Why is that? But Frank Luntz is my guest, author of Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. 212-433-WNYC. God, you like this old phone number, having it back. Our lines are lighting up so much faster, and they are full than when we were using SpudRay. All right, Frank, your comparison.
Well, one of the things, again, I'm going to go back to the book for one second, because it's not just what you say, it is also how you say it. And in Words That Work, I focused on the delivery. Barack Obama was, as I am now, a bit hesitant. He would not speak in the complete sentence. You can credit him, and I'll stop doing it, you can credit him for thinking about the question, for pondering it. And there's a certain amount where the public will support, but you heard John McCain in that. Destroy it. I mean, his response to evil was instantaneous. It was a snap of the fingers. And the public is going to react to that very strongly. There's certain questions where there is a yes or no answer.
One of the things that really struck me, though, was that Obama's definition of what is evil was much broader than McCain's. McCain said, my friends, he always says my friends, we are facing the transcendent challenge of the 21st century, radical Islamic extremism. Obama, on the other hand, ticked off a list of various evils. Does evil exist? I think we see evil all the time, he said. We see evil in Darfur. We see evil, sadly, on the streets of our cities. We see evil in parents who viciously abuse their children, unquote. It's a much broader definition of evil.
And if you polled it, I think that Obama's definition of evil would have greater support than McCain's. But if you were dial testing it at the moment, McCain's immediate response would have done better than Obama's.
Obama also went toward, and it was a little indirect about this, but inadvertent evil committed by the United States. He said we have to have some humility in how we approach the issue of confronting evil, because a lot of evil has been perpetrated based on the claim that we were trying to confront evil.
Right, and that's going to be a problem for Obama. That's the kind of thing that a Democratic liberal would stand up and give him a standing ovation. But conservatives, and more importantly, independents, would have an issue with that. While they might say that we are not necessarily effective in everything that we do, we're not evil in the fact that we try to do things.
And William Crystal went after Obama in his column in the New York Times today on this point. And one of the things that he said was, it's nice to see a liberal Democrat acknowledging that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, because he says that's generally a liberal failing. But of course, Obama was presumably referring to things like the Iraq War.
Well, he was referring to the Iraq War, he's referring to Afghanistan, and he's referring to 30, 40 years of foreign policy that his position that he would disagree with. What was great about this forum is that you got a genuine opportunity to hear the two candidates uninterrupted, where the moderator wasn't trying to show inconsistencies, wasn't trying to become the star of the show. I thought the question wordings were brilliant. I thought the presentation was very strong, and both candidates would have come out from that forum ahead of where they were when they went in.
We'll continue with Frank Luntz, author of Words That Work. We'll play more clips of McCain and Obama with Rick Warren on Saturday night, and we'll get to your phone calls at, blessedly, 212-433-WNYC. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Frank Luntz, author of Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. Frank Luntz, best known as a former Republican Party strategist, now saying an independent analyst on political communication. Did anyone win that Rick Warren forum, in your opinion?
They both won. Obama was able to reach out to a community that Democrats have done very poorly among and demonstrate that he was, on many issues, very acceptable to them. They might have disagreed with him on things like abortion, but he was impressive in his presentation. And that was, in my mind, the best performance by John McCain that I've ever seen him do in this presidential cycle. Very prepared, very emphatic, And he told stories almost as though they were parables that people could relate to. I wish he would stop saying my friends, because I keep seeing FDR every time he does it. But I think they both ended up ahead.
And what about Rick Warren, who, you know, as if his profile wasn't big enough with a purpose-driven life and all, he, I think, reached a different audience by being on national television with this, a secular audience of people who may not have known him so well. And I wonder if you think that the ascendance of Rick Warren to the position where he lands something like this represents change that may even be threatening politically to the Republican Party. Because if he is today's generation of evangelical, he was certainly not Pat Roberts and not Jerry Falwell.
I don't think it's – the only people I think it's threatening to are those who are anti-religious. I think that Rick Warren has proven that religion has a positive impact on society, that there's no reason to discuss – in fact, there is a strong reason to discuss these issues in the political forum, that he was able to present it in an unbiased fashion, and that, in fact, his questions were better than CNN or MSNBC or ABC, any of those news broadcasts, that he actually asked questions that nobody else asked, didn't try to play gotcha. It gave the candidates the opportunity to respond in full. That's all that we can ask.
Though he... what he didn't do that a professional journalist would have done is follow up and really drill down on particular answers.
Yes,
and maybe you call that gotcha, but it's also called getting specific.
Yes, but it's also allowing the – because the questions were so different, what Supreme Court justice would you not have confirmed is a different way of asking. And it's just as – in fact, it's more enlightening because it tells you the lines that they're willing to draw. What crisis, what moral crisis did you face? What position did you change? All what they always try to do in politics is they do try to play gotcha. Ah, oh, you said this 2 years ago. Now you're saying this now. He did it the other way. He said, tell me what you did change and now explain the decision-making process. I think listeners would have found that to be the most refreshing way to engage in public discourse.
Let's play the answers of each of them, specifically on the faith question. We've got a minute 15 of Obama, a minute 45 of McCain. Rick Warren asked them what their faith means to them. Obama first.
As a starting point, it means I believe in that Jesus Christ died for my sins and, mm-hmm. and that I am redeemed through him. That is a source of strength and sustenance on a daily basis. I know that I don't walk alone.
Yeah.
And I know that if I can get myself out of the way, mm-hmm. that I can maybe carry out in some small way what he intends. Hmm. And it means that those sins that I have on a fairly regular basis, hopefully, will be washed away. But what it also means, I think, is a sense of obligation to embrace not just words, but through deeds, mm-hmm. the expectations, I think, that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And that means thinking about the least of these. It means acting acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God.
So John McCain answering what his faith means to him, and as Frank Luntz and I were discussing during that clip, his language is really much more overtly religious than John McCain's when he was asked the same question.
It means I'm saved and forgiven. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the world. Our faith encompasses not just the United States of America, but the world. Can I tell you another story real quick?
Sure.
Vietnamese kept us in prison in conditions of solitary confinement or two or three to a cell. They did that because they knew they could break down our resistance. One of the techniques that they used to get information was to take ropes and tie them around your biceps, pull your biceps behind you, loop the rope around your head, pull your head down between your knees and leave you in that position. You can imagine it's very uncomfortable. One night I was being punished in that fashion. All of a sudden the door of the cell opened and a guard came in, a guy who was just what we called a gun guard. He just walked around the camp with a gun on his shoulder. He went like this and then he loosened the ropes. He came back about 4 hours later. We tightened them up again and left. The following Christmas, because it was Christmas Day, we were allowed to stand outside of our cell for a few minutes. In those days, we were not allowed to see or communicate with each other, although we certainly did. And I was standing outside for my few minutes outside of my cell. He came walking up. He stood there for a minute, and with his sandal on the dirt in the courtyard, he drew a cross. And he stood there, and a minute later, he rubbed it out and walked away. For a minute there was just two Christians worshiping together. I'll never forget that moment.
Frank, let's compare the two.
John McCain tells a story. Obama says how he feels. Feeling is important because it's emotional, but storytelling connects with an audience even more. And McCain's story is something that most Americans would not have heard, and they respect. Once again,
but he talked about being a prisoner of war. Obama really talked about Christianity.
Correct. And what's interesting for Obama is, for both these guys, is that one of the swing votes is the Jewish vote. In Florida, in Ohio, Jews could determine who's the next president because of those two states. And both these candidates, I'm not quite sure, based on what they said, will make Jewish voters all that happy.
Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. All right, let's take some phone calls. But you were telling me that you did a test using Obama's religious language on a Democratic and a Republican audience. What'd
yes,
you do?
This is also in the paperback version of Words That Work. I read Obama's language on religion to a group of 30 undecided voters, and I asked them to dial as I read it. And the lines for the Democrats went up, went down, and Republicans went up. They didn't know who said it, and it was religious and spiritual, and Democrats hated it, and Republicans loved it. Then I rolled the tape of Obama saying those words, and everybody laughed sheepishly. Everybody was embarrassed because the Republicans liked language from someone they disliked, and the Democrats rejected the language from the person that they liked. So when they then gave the second, a follow-up Obama clip, suddenly the Democrats who had rejected him now loved him, and the Republicans who had loved him now rejected him. Unfortunately, what we have learned is it's not just what you say, it's who says it that also matters.
That's called bias, right? And not in a political sense, not in a mean sense, not in a, you know, trying to spin something sense. Bias is we have so many people have a kind of preconception about one thing or another, one person or another, one group or another. And so the same words will be perceived differently.
And even how you communicate it. We asked the question twice. Would you deny emergency room care to illegal immigrants versus would you not give? Some people would not deny it because it's as though they had the right to get it, but they would not give it if they had the choice. They're being hypocritical with their response. But that one word, deny, is so powerful that it changes the reaction.
Frank Luntz, author of Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. Surette in Queens are on WNYC. Hi, Surette. Surette, do we have you? Am I saying your name right? Let's try Mark in Manhattan. Mark, do we have you?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was quite horrified by the conversation on evil, particularly the applause at the end of McCain's speech that seemed very unselfconscious and rather rather bloodthirsty. I mean, particularly in that church context, I mean, there's a very old tradition within the church of identifying evil not as a positive thing that is, but as a negative thing that takes away from it. It's not a being the way good is, but it's parasitical and takes away from the good. So the moment you identify something as a positive evil, as an enemy, is the moment that you allow that thing to be demonized and you set up camps of us and them and you bring about the situation where we can do violence to them with impunity. And I find that quite horrifying, particularly...
Mark, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. Well, let's go to William in Manhattan. William, you're on WNYC.
Hi there. Thank you. I was also shocked by that answer by McCain, and you say that you know, a I think you said, Frank, that the if it was a liberal Democratic audience, they would have cheered Obama. But in this case, since it was a conservative, I think, or maybe you said Republican group, they cheered McCain's saying, you know, evil exists and we'll wipe it out. We should wipe it out or destroy it. I think that the discrepancy is it doesn't fall into those two camps. I think any intelligent person, any reflective person who hears, you know, those two statements will applaud Obama, and a reflective, intelligent Republican conservative would say, yeah, he's right about that. McCain is just
Frank,
you know,
give me 15 seconds on that. We're almost out of time.
Well, first off, they focused on the word evil, which we talked about. I knew that they would. Second is that phrase, any intelligent person. They're making a pejorative judgment. Once again, the power of words, a single word, can grab someone's attention, and it will dominate everything else that they hear. You can hear 10 minutes of rhetoric, but a single word dominates. It's the whole purpose behind that paperback Words That Work is to get at what you and I had talked about a year and a half ago. The power of language to influence, the power of language to convince.
Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. Now out in paperback from Frank Luntz with a new chapter on the presidential nominees. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.